Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You that You're so genuine to us and that You're so real and that we can read Your words and get strength and comfort and all those things. And as You've heard the request today, most of all right now, though, Father, we would just like to pray for our country and our fellow soldiers fighting for our freedom as it's being eroded here back at home by a choice of a vote. Father, we're just strengthened by Your grace. We're strengthened by Your knowledge of our situation. We're strengthened the fact that this isn't the end for us, no matter what happens. And Father, we're just grateful for all that You do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you want to introduce yourselves? All right.
My name is Ron Hidalgo, and this is my lovely wife. I call her Jay, but her name is Joan.
Joan.
And she has the same last name.
Now, we met at a Bible conference three years back or so.
3 years.
3 years. I thought so. I couldn't remember. It just slipped my mind, but we're glad you're here. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going over just so that nobody gets confused by everything that's on here. Let me go back over in review, okay? Acts chapter 9, Paul gets saved. Acts chapter 13, he starts preaching the gospel of Christ. That's a fact. We know that by what? Acts 13, 38, and 39. We know that. We can mark that in time. That is the entrance of the S factor. What is S factor? It is that Christ died for our sins. That's the S factor. The S factor. Did they preach the death, burial, and resurrection before the cross? Yes. Jesus says, I'm going to suffer many things of the elders, be crucified and raised again the third day. He preached it. Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection. Did Paul preach the death, burial, and resurrection? Yes. So the death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel of God. That is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You got it? And then enters in the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That Christ died for our sins. And that is the S factor, enters in. That is that Christ died for sins. But did He die for everybody's sin? He did, but nobody knew about that. At that time, it was only to who? Jews and Jewish proselytes and Gentiles that feared God. That's who it was for. It wasn't until the end, somewhere toward the end of the book of Acts, that God's grace went to all men. And when that happened, that's where we are. And go to Ephesians. Did I say Timothy?
No.
I want Ephesians. And David brought up a good point on after the catching out. What happens? Because I think that is going to be important, so I'm going to enter that in as well. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, we were in verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Now, I want you to get out your Bible pen. You're going to need to mark this. You're not any smarter than me, I know. You're going to want to score it, highlight it, whatever you can do to get this down. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, we went over one other thing for the guests that came in, because you come into this mess and you might get confused. The ye's are the Gentiles outside that had cursed. The we are the ones of promise. Okay? So the C factor, what is the C factor? These people cursed Israel, therefore they deserved a what? Curse. According to the covenant. They were outside the covenant. How much hope did these people have?
None.
Until God opened the realm of the G factor, which is grace. Now watch. That's when He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Was it the gift of God over here? It was a promise. God had promised them. Go back to Acts 13. Just let's nail this down. God had promised. Is God a man that He should lie? No, if he promised, is he going to do it?
Yes.
Yes, he is. So this isn't grace, this is a promise. God made a promise. Very important. God made a promise. He didn't make a promise to you. What was his promise to you? You'd be cursed. Not good. Verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God according to his
promise.
You see that? God promised. God can't break his promise. That would not be a good God that breaks his promise. What kind of God would break his promise?
False God.
A false God is the only God that could do that. God's not a man that he should lie. See, hath he said it, will he not perform the doing of it? God promised to raise unto Israel a what? God promised. He's got to make that happen. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 again. It was according to a promise, but now it's a what? A gift. Now, gifts aren't promised. I've had many, you know, I had an anniversary. I didn't get one single gift on my anniversary. They aren't promised. You have a birthday party. I've had 50 of them getting 50, getting ready to have 51. Not every year I get gifts. They're not promised. Right? A gift is different than a promise, right? If I promise you every year I'm going to get you a gift, then it's a promise. I've got to keep my promise or I'm not a man of my word. But a gift doesn't have anything to do with that. You don't deserve a gift. Watch this. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, why would it be important for these people to have a gift? Well, if they don't get the G factor, guess what? They have no hope. The G factor is the what? It's the gift. God's extending His grace to you. He doesn't have to. You understand? He had to give it to these people. Why? He promised. God promised. Over here, God didn't have to give you anything. Why? You were under a curse. He never gave you anything. But He gave you a gift. And this gift is, everybody, verse 9, not of works. You understand? You're not getting this gift because you did anything great. You didn't bless a Jew. You didn't keep the commandments. You didn't do anything good. It is not of works. Lest any man should boast. Why? If you did something for that gift, all eternity you'd say, well, listen, I walked the aisle and he gave me that gift. There are many people I've heard that says, you know what, I said the sinner's prayer, therefore he gave me the gift. No. I confessed my sins and he gave me the gift. No. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And Brother Moore used to give a great illustration that I loved over the years. By the way, I got to see Brother Moore the last time. Brendan and I got to see him in the rehab. And he's coming along with his stroke. He can move his arm a little bit now. He hadn't lost his sense of humor. He's still funny as he always was. He told the lady, she's trying to get him up, and said, need to push your hips forward. And said, no, you need to get that man to dance with you. I'm not going to dance with you. He was funny. Anyway, he gave this illustration of fellowship. And it's like the Titanic. I want you to think about the Titanic for a minute in that rowboat. And say, anybody out there? You hear this faint voice, I'm here. So they row over, and he reaches down to grab this person and bring them in, and they grab him and say, no, you've got to stop trying to save yourself and let me save you. Otherwise, if I let you grab on, you'll go around bragging that you grabbed onto my arm and it was you that saved you instead of what I did for you. Boy, when I saw that illustration, it just clicked in my mind. You know, you have to relax. And so you relax. And as you relax, the guy in the boat pulls you in. But if you grabbed on, what would he have done? Shook it off. Said, look, I'll let you drown. You've got to quit trying to save yourself. This is a gift. Y'all understand? And that's exactly the difference from salvation. People say, well, I'll walk the aisle for Jesus. No, 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 no. I said the sinner's prayer. No, 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 no. I've done good works. No, 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 no. I've given to the church. No, 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 no. What is it? Christ died for me. It's a gift. Before it was through a promise, but now it's the gift of God. Not of works. Can't brag. What are you going to brag about? What did you do so special that God would have opened up His grace to you and the portal of grace? There is not one single thing, are you listening to me, that you could have done that would have accessed God's grace to open up. Nothing. There isn't anything in the there isn't anything humanly admirable about you. Even if we got amongst ourselves, we'd probably fight. Amen. Meow. You know? Meow. Arch back. Yeah, but we're just alike. Meow. I mean, you know what I mean? You get about 12 preachers in the back room and shut the door, there might be blood running out. You got to be careful. Say, but you're trying to do the work of the Lord. Yeah, but we're all selfish and stingy and flawed. I've got human flaws that I fight every single day. I look in the mirror and I hate who I am, and so I work on me. But you know what? Working on me isn't going to get me into heaven. Why, it was His gift. It was by grace, through faith, His faith. And not of myself, it's the gift of God. Boy, isn't that a most marvelous verse? And so, where the promise, everybody with me, Jews, Jewish proselytes, and Gentile that feared God, the C factor people were outside the covenant having no hope, right? But now look in Titus. Go to Titus. Go in the other room until you get woke up. Go in the other room. I know you're feeling bad. Go in the other room. I know you're feeling bad. Okay, well, just help me out, okay? It was funny the first time. I'm worried about you if you're that tired. I want you to relax because we want you to get well, okay? Okay. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at this. Now, this would not have been true under promise. You all understand? The statements I'm about to read could not and would not have been able to be accessed. It wouldn't have said this. Verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. Y'all with me? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to what?
All men.
Would the grace of God that bringeth salvation appear to all men back here?
No.
Why? There were some that were in the C factor that kept them away from the grace. They had cursed Israel. They didn't deserve it. They were outside the covenants of hope, having no hope and without what? God in the world. Ephesians chapter 2. There were people out here that had no things, but now the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to what? Do you know what? God has appeared to you through grace. And it doesn't matter whether, listen to me, it does not matter whether you're a homosexual, you're a drug abuser, now, this might get a few people mad. A pedophile or a murderer, God has forgiven you. It's already been done. The sins have been paid for 100%. You know what? Sin isn't even going to send you to hell. It is, I mean, all these churches to tell you what you need to do is confess your sins. Confess your sins. What they're doing is insulting God. You're not insulting me, they're insulting God. Why? You don't really believe that Jesus Christ paid it all. Why would you keep asking something when he says, I've done it? Well, you just don't believe he did it. When he tells you it's done, it's complete, then it's done. You better believe that. Otherwise, you're in unbelief. If you don't believe it, you're in unbelief. Amen?
Amen.
Easy. Just I don't want to beg for them. But I just preach my heart out. And when I preach my heart out with truth, you know, a little praise the Lord or amen, or I'll even take a little hallelujah would be okay. But don't leave me out there by myself pumping air or trying to suck into my lungs all that I have left. Okay? You all understand that now it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, green. Doesn't matter whether you're short, tall, fat, ugly. It doesn't matter whether you're poor, rich. God has paid for your sins. How do we know? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, for he that is Almighty God hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be what?
Sin for us.
To be sin for us. Who knew how much sin?
None.
That he knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only question you have to ask is, how do I get in him? How do I get in him? You've got to believe the truth. You just got to relax and believe. It's already done. And well, what do you mean? All the other churches told me I had to walk the aisle. Yeah? Or by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. I always wondered about those Billy Graham crusades, haven't you? I went to a Billy Graham crusade, one of the bigger ones, out in San Diego. And he had all them people in them stands. We were in a big auditorium, big, come down to get saved. But the people that were watching on TV could get saved right where they were sitting. I never did understand that. How come the people local had to work so hard for their salvation when the person at home could just simply believe? See, he wanted you to think there was something you're doing. Listen, there is nothing you have to be done. There's nothing that has to be done. When the G factor entered in, he had paid it all.
Amen.
There isn't a lack or a need or a necessary thing for you. And it is not your sins that send you to hell.
Amen.
It is not your sins. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to read with me in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish. What is perishing? That's a bad thing. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, that is, they're not receiving it. That this cause. God shall send them with strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. What's going to damn a person?
Their unbelief.
Their unbelief. If you do not believe the gospel and the G factor that's come to you, and you have a negative belief or unbelief, it equals lost. For how long?
Forever.
Why? Because once the rapture of the church has happened, then God is going to send these people a strong delusion that they'll believe a what? They'll believe a lie. That they all might be damned. You see, what sends a person to hell today is their belief. You say, well, we all kind of believe alike. No, we don't. Hey, listen, I've heard Church of Christ preachers and Church of Gods and Assembly of Gods, and I've heard Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterians, and I don't believe they're all preaching the same thing. That leads me to one thought. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Well, I ain't right, but you know what is? This book is right. That King James Bible on your lap is 100% right. And there are very few churches today that believe that book. I'm just telling you. It's an amazing thing. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He'd have all men to be saved. And everything that has been accomplished, when you add the grace factor in and you start to see this chart, you start to realize, man, thank God for that time when it came. Now, I'm going to get to that period, hopefully, that we can deal with the change a little bit. But, you know, who over here was the hope for these people right here? Israel was their hope. Amen? Even though they got saved by the gospel of Christ, that is, Christ died for their sins, it was Israel was their hope. Y'all understand? For a Gentile, they had to bless the B factor. If they didn't B factor, they were a C factor, and that put them outside that promise. So all of this adds up to salvation. Now, watch 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who? Who's the who? The God our Savior of verse 3. Will have all men to be saved. Well, what is the will of God for you to be saved? He said he who will have all men to be saved. Then God's will, God our Savior's will, is to have what? Well, if he didn't make a propitiation for all men, then how could all men be saved? Y'all understand? There is no human possibility that that could work any other way. Now, guys, you're not getting these other churches. I can promise you that. Amen? It ain't happening, I can tell you. And it ain't because I'm so special. Although, I am a little special, just a tad bit. No, I'm not worth a gunpowder to blow me into hell. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? He could not have all men to be saved back here. Why? It was only according to what?
Promise.
But now with the G factor entered in, he could have all men be saved. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you walk, what you do, what you look like, what you see, what you act like, it is what he did. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed. It's like I blew snot at an old-fashioned altar and got by. No. I walked the aisle and said no. I said something. No. He wiped it clear. Period. It's done. Say, well, I don't believe that. That's what's sending you to hell. I believe you ought to be a good Christian. There's none good, no, not one. Do you realize for all the course of human history, almost 6,000 years, there's been none good, no, not one? Some have had the law, some have not had the law. You know, people act like the commandments were around forever. How many thought the commandments have been around forever? Do you realize that there are 2,500 years where there is no law? Did you all know that? Most people go to church have no clue that that was the way it was. There was no commandment. Why did those people die? In Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. You got it? In Adam, all what? Die. Guess what happened to all these people? Then the law entered. And you know what happened for those 1,500 years to the cross? They all died too. You know why? There ain't none good. No, not one. That matters. You say, well, the law. I thought the law was like, when I have no, I was dumb. I'm telling you, Brenda sat next to me, and thank God she made me look smart. She would turn my Bible when I had no clue which way to turn. I had no idea what's in this Bible. And you know what? My pride made me think that I had something down. Till the day I got saved. When I got saved, you know what? I quit trying to be something I wasn't. He'd have all men to be saved. That included me. Everything that he could possibly have accomplished had already accomplished. Say, okay, I watch people go to lunch. How many people see lunch and they'll go and forgive us of our sins? You know what they're doing? They're actually insulting the Lord. They're putting him back on the cross when he has already died, buried, and rose again. And you know what? There isn't anything he's going to do to get back on that tree. It's already been accomplished. If he didn't pay for it 2,000 years ago for your sins, then you are in trouble. You all understand that? You are in trouble. Comes to that simple of a point. People running around say, well, we're getting ready to have Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for my mama. And I'm thankful for my car. And you know what I'm thankful for, guys? That I had a Savior that went to the tree 2,000 years ago and became sin for me.
Amen.
That's what I'm thankful for. There isn't anything. People going around saying, thankful, I've got a turkey. Well, what happens if you didn't have a turkey? You know what? He still died for your sins. Amen. You say, well, I can't even afford a good slider. I don't even know what a slider is, but I saw it today on TV. It's a little miniature hamburger slider. I saw it. Is that what they call sliders? I couldn't believe it. And there was this restaurant in New Jersey that had 2 2-ounce sliders for $38. You know what I was thankful for? I didn't pay that for that. $38 said one of the most popular items on the menu. You know why that's you know why they serve them sliders so that those New Jersey and the New Yorkans can be in a size zero. No wonder they look silly. That's not enough meat to fill up anything. My Yorkie would eat more than that. Amen, Brenda. I'm like, whoo, 38. I better be walking out with my belly jiggling. You know. Look at that. I went to Bonefish the other day. Look at that. That's what you call eating. I know you guys are jealous because I've got six packs and you don't. I don't know how. I don't even have to work out and I get these. It's amazing. God's grace. I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful that He has completed the task for me. I thank God that I don't have to be something you want me to be. I'm saved because He paid it all. You know, when you think about the G factor, and this ends, the G factor ends when? With the catching out of the church. You know what happens at the end of the G factor? In comes the W factor. The wrath of God comes in. Grace is out. You know what grace isn't anymore? You can't get saved by grace. I hate to tell Tim LaHaye that in his book, Left Behind. We just read it. You know what? If you hear the gospel and reject it, God is going to send you a strong delusion that you will and be what? You're going to get the W factor on you. And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. There will be none that will escape that. You say, well, you better get this thing down in your mind now. You realize that the rapture of the church could come tonight. And then you show up next Sunday, and there may be a few people that show up here, and you're thinking, well, where's the pastor? Where's Terry? I didn't see Terry. Who's going to let us in? And so Wayne will roll up. He's locked up in a room. He can't get me. Not back there, he can't. Yeah, I guess he could. Hey, Wayne comes rolling in and unlocks the door, and you might not know anything different. other than now you're damned. So you haven't done anything different. You hadn't smoked any more pot. You hadn't drank any more booze. You hadn't cussed anymore. You haven't lusted anymore. You haven't seen the internet porn. You haven't done any of that any more than what you were. And you went from being having a chance at hope to being damned forever. And you know what it was that did that? Unbelief. That's all that did it. It was a switch. People say, well, you need to straighten out your life. What you need to do is get your life straight. You need to give up smoking and drinking and playing cards. And I find that's the best part of life. So yeah, I ain't giving up any of those things. Can you imagine Spurgeon preaching in a church today? I did sound like Jimmy Swaggart. Well, that's probably a compliment, I guess. Spurgeon smoked cigars. They show up in the pulpit smoking cigars and say, you can't preach, that's the throne of God. Really? He preached one of the greatest messages on justification by faith. In fact, that message I just gave you came from him. Because it came from the Word of God. And he knew it was the finished work of Calvary that justified him, not his own actions. But today, oh man, that guy would get it ridiculed. I mean, I see people go, I can't believe those people smoke outside the church. You know what? I'm thankful to God they don't smoke inside the church. Let them smoke, just not inside the building. I mean, there's a few things I like. Smoked bacon, smoked ham, smoking cigarettes, just stay over there. Smoke all you want. In fact, I encourage it. I'll go light it for you a couple times. Hope you die soon. No, I praise the Lord. I mean, you know, well, I don't believe in suicide. Really? I think suicide's a sin. I think those people who commit suicide go to hell. Amen? And those little fat gluttons, I like those people. I think they ought to... suicide is a sin. Hand me a piece of that cheesecake. Amen. You know what those people are? A bunch of hypocrites. They want to know the grace of God if it hit them in the face. Folks, the work has been done. I don't understand why the room ain't full. Greatest message in the... Well, yeah, I do. Well, don't come here, Barry. He's a little weird. But he's saved.
That's right.
And he knows the G factor. So as you go through this study, as we wrap up this thing, the rest of them are on the internet. You can't reach any further to grace than you've reached today. There isn't anything hidden. See, God kept the G factor to him to himself. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at this. This is so good. Aren't you glad you came?
Amen.
And you got to make sure that our friends feel welcomed here. Maybe they'll come back and he looks so good. I think he ought to preach. He looks fantastic. Doesn't he? He does look good. She's going, yes. That's a good woman there.
Amen.
Amen. Like mine. I tell you what, you know what? I know how to catch them now. But back then I didn't know how to catch them. If you want to know how to catch a good woman, you put a big box and a stick and tie a rope on it. And you put a piece of chocolate right there in the middle. And then you back away and you hide. And as they come, just yank the rope and they're trapped in the box and you got your one. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 3. It's good to have a great wife. You know the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. He didn't say find a good wife because a good wife is a wife. Didn't have to explain that.
Like a box of chocolates, though. You don't know what you're going to get.
Miss Gloria, you can come live at my house, honey.
I got him under control. It's
all right. Amen. Thank you. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 3. Now watch this. Verse 6. That the Gentiles, and these are Gentiles outside the covenant, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by blessing Israel. No, how? By the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given on me by the effectual working of his power unto me, now watch this, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, oh I love this, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what? You can't find anywhere in the Old Testament, anywhere, that God was going to add the G factor in. Nowhere. It was always best upon the B. Blessing Israel for a Gentile. Works of righteousness. And then he says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been where? Hidden God. Not hidden Scripture. Hidden God, who created all things. See, God kept a mystery out. And God knew from the very get-go he was going to save you in this room. But he couldn't tell anybody. He couldn't tell that he was going to even add the S factor. Why? Had they known the S factor back here, what did the Bible say? If they knew the S factor, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, 8. Didn't let it know. So he reveals the S factor who? To Paul. Why? He's after the cross. Could he have revealed it to the 12? No, they wouldn't have got it. So the 12 don't have the S factor. And that the S factor was hid where? In where? In Scripture. The Old Testament, it always promised Israel was going to have a Savior. Amen? But it was hid from their eyes. So the S factor was in Scripture, but it was still a mystery. Paul uses the Old Testament Scriptures to prove the S factor. You got it? Proves the S factor. Proves that Christ died for your sins. But later, he's revealed something, and this is where it's revealed. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe he got this in Acts 14. And he finally lets it loose at the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You guys have had enough Bible for one day, haven't you? You got more than the average. Hey, listen, I would stick around if everybody here would cough up another $20 for the plate. Anybody willing to do that? How many be willing to stick around for $20 more for another 30 minutes? Only one man? Two? Three? Well, we might just take this up. This is pretty good. You don't even have $20. You're not hungry, are you? Don't let your flesh be troubled. 2 Corinthians 12, y'all there? Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. For I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into the paradise, and here it is, heard unspeakable words. That's it right there. Those words are the G factor. That is that he was going to go to all men. That he was going to go to all men as in Titus chapter 2 verse 11 and 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. And you know what? He couldn't say anything. That was Acts chapter 14 when he was drug out and stoned. And he kept it hush-hush until Acts chapter 22. Go to Acts chapter 22. Is anybody getting this? Verse 21. Acts 22, verse 21. Gosh, I am so glad you're here. Where's Missy this morning? Is she okay?
She's had a knee all weekend at the gym.
Okay. Tell her we're praying for her. She runs around with a bunch of kids about this big. It's one thing God didn't give me is 40 kids. I do believe in suicide. No, I'm just kidding. Acts 22, verse 21. Now watch this. And he said unto me, talking about the Lord, depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. These are the Gentiles of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that had no hope and without God in the world. He'd been going to Gentiles all along. But when he said this, watch, they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that you're telling me that God is going to say, Barry Hampton, no way, no how, kill that man. That's what's happening. That's what's actually happening. And from that point on, he's trying to make it known. Now watch the last part of the book of Acts. Who was the hope of us before Israel fell? I gave you the answer. Who was our hope? It would have been Israel. For all Gentiles, it would have been Israel, right? But after that Israel had fallen completely, then who would our hope be? We wouldn't have any. Unless he came through another portal, thus the G factor, the grace factor, is opened up. But look at how he says this. This is so incredible. Verse 17, Acts 28, verse 17. And I think I'll finish close on time if you'll come with me. Oh, this is good stuff. Amen? Amen. So what happens when the rapture comes? Is the G factor still in force? No. What starts coming in then? The W factor. And it goes back to that Gentiles as a nation have to bless. And so the B factor comes back in over here. You got it? But if you've ever heard of the gospel and rejected it, you ain't got a hope. Now, Acts 28, 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days called the chief Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I had committed nothing against the people or the custom or our fathers, yet was I delivered into prison from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because they there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I have aught to accuse my nation of. Now watch. For this cause, therefore, have I called you, to see you, to speak with you. Who's he talking to? Israel. Because that for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with his chain. Why was he bound? Huh? He was locked up because he said he was going to, God sent him far outside the covenant, under the curse. So now the hope of Israel is what? The Gentiles outside the covenant. For a Jew to get saved today, he has to become like a Gentile outside the covenant. You got it? We're the hope of Israel. Israel is not our hope. All these shofar ministries and all these things that are trying to push the Jewish thing, that is not the deal, folks. We're the hope. We're the hope for the world. It's the church, the body of Christ. It is the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the ministry of grace that reaches these fathoms of the depths of the world, that you don't need to know your Jewish rites. They need to know your gospel to get saved. Thank you. You got it? Shofar ministries and all these Jewish things that are popping up left and right, they're blowing smoke. You're the hope of Israel. You're the hope of the world. You're the hope of Montgomery. You are. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. You may want Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 right there in your Bible. Now, see, Jeff wishes he had his. Well, he's, man, I'm missing these good notes, but not Jim. Jim back there writing those notes. Good man. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
David, you getting a few notes down? All right. George has already got it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Now watch this. Verse 26 now. Here's the wrap up. Saying, go unto this people. Who's this people?
Jews,
Israel. And say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, Israel, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, and they that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Here it is, verse 28. Be it known unto you, therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. The Gentiles outside the covenant.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, Gentiles right there. As in comparison to Acts chapter 13, write this down, you will not get it, verse 23 and 26. Why? Hey, before it was sent to Abraham and his seed and to all that what? Feared God. But now it's what? He sends it far hence onto the you. Outside of the covenant, having no hope and without God. Are you an Acts 28er? No. I'm a whole Bible-ater. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, don't you? I believe that's the gospel of God. I believe in the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for my sins. How did I get that? Through the G factor. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Well, he couldn't go through Israel. Why? He had set Israel as, lo am I, and he opened the portal of grace, and he reached his hand down to save anybody who will believe on his Son.
Amen.
Oh. One hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's good stuff, guys.
Amen.
And from that point on, listen to me, from that point on until they're catching out of the church, grace is all that there is. Nothing else. And you know how many people in Montgomery, Alabama understand that? You ought to look around. You're probably close to it. I guarantee you. If you'll start asking people this question, I want you to ask people, promise me over this next week you'll ask these people this question. Will you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Just ask them this. All I want you to do is, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? Just ask them that. Don't try to put words in their mouth. Just listen to them. And I'll bet you 99.9%, doesn't matter whether they go to church with you or whether they eat out with you or they work with you. Listen to me. All you have to do is say, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And say, well, most of them answer this. I hope I go to heaven. I said, that's great. Now, why would God let you in? Well, I joined the church. I confessed my sins. I've asked for forgiveness. I try to do the best I can. I'm really working hard at being a Christian. Those are the words you're going to hear. You know how seldom you will hear this? I am definitely going to heaven. You say, why? Because Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for all of my sins. You will very seldom hear that at all. Yes?
Well, didn't in the Old Testament, God chosen people who had said something like they didn't want to hear God's thunderous voice any longer?
Mm-hmm.
It scared them.
Yes, when he was up on the mountain.
Then he said, I will send one of your own and you better listen to him.
Yes.
And then some did, some didn't.
Nope, that's it.
And then, after Christ passed and went to heaven, then they changed Saul to Paul. And then Paul was to bridge both of them together. And there, some didn't.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what this chart really is talking about. I mean, they believed in the death, burial, and resurrection, but they didn't understand the mystery that Paul had. And Paul did, in some sense, bridge the groups, because he had the DBR, the gospel of Christ, and the grace of God, and made it all accessible to us to understand it through the written word. But let me tell you, There are very few people that understand that. Now ask yourself, if you go and ask people, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why? If you hear someone say, well, I hope I go to heaven, you say, why? And they say, because I've been good or joined the church or kept the commandments. You know what you know about that person? Lost. You can count on it. Because it's not what goes in a man. It's not your booze. It's not your smoke that defiles you. The Bible says not what goes in a man's mouth, but what comes out of it. Listen to their words. They'll condemn themselves. Had a guy, Mr. Smith, back years and years ago, 20-some years ago, tried to convince me he got saved when he was 8 and 33 and 59 and all that. You know, the problem is, he was just lost. There was one day that you walk from life into death, or from death into life. There's one day, there's one moment in time. It's not, I wrote a song that says it's a moment in time. Boom. And you know what? You can fake that moment out to me, but can you imagine faking that? And then we all find out you were faking it. Wow, what good would that have done? Right? Mr. Smith, I believe, died and went to hell. Listen, he even gave money. Doesn't matter. What saves a human being today is the finished work of Calvary and the grace of God that brought it to you through the message of the Apostle Paul. And there are very few people teaching that anywhere in Alabama.